Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It's, like I say, good to be here. My wife to be here. And she's been helping to be us. And so good for the hospitality. Amen. You know, we can stay anywhere. And I'm glad that in the midst of a big family that they're able to take us in. And I can sleep in the midst of noise. It don't bother me none. But when my clock says it's time to go to bed, I go to bed. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Glory to God. Amen. So we have enjoyed our stay, and I've been traveling around the mission strips, CarMax, Ketchikan. Did some help over in Wasilla last few days with Brother Scott there in the Church Hills. And that was the last mission strip. And it's just good just to see the young people work the altars and work praying people through the Holy Ghost and just talking to them about the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Just throws our heart to see that. Folks that are not afraid to travel and give up some of their summer. But like I told them, when you go back home to your home church, you need to work just as hard. And when you go home to your house, you need to be just as clean and helpful. I didn't get a whole lot of amens on that one, but that's the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I hallelujah. I want to bring something to you today. I'm going to say some things today. I'm going to say some things today. So just cool your jets. Hey. Amen. Luke chapter 10, if you'll stand. Thank you once again, Brother Sister Eichert. Amen. Hallelujah. The Glovers, this church here, so kind to us over the years. Amen. And we're just happy. We're happy to be here. I want to bring to you something that's been in my spirit. Do you know how it was going to come about? I had this back in Texas. I brought it with me, but really had no intention of, Lord, if you put it in my spirit, maybe I'll talk about it. But he has put it in my spirit. When I was with the Bagwells up in Fairbanks, we were just there about a week and a half ago. I did not preach this, but as I was praying and I was seeking the Lord, you know, I'm an individual that likes to stay a step ahead sometimes. But enough room to give the Holy Ghost movement. That's why when I look at these churches that have a 9 o'clock service and a 10:30 or 9 and an 11 and a 12, I say, how can they do that without giving the Lord room to move? I would go 8 and 11 or 8 at 12. Make sure I give the Lord plenty of time. Now, I'm going to talk about that. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 30. When you read the story, you're going to say, oh, man, not again. The parable of the Good Samaritan. But I'm not really going to go that route. Oh, I might in passing, but not really. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 30. Jesus is answering. He goes to a parable. If you read a few scriptures before, he's talking to the young cat and saying, you know, what must I do? You know, and the Lord gives him, well, yeah, love the Lord, the God, love this, la, la, and all that kind of stuff. And then he goes into the parable. So here it is. And Jesus answering said, a certain man down from, watch this, from Jerusalem to Jericho, difference. Difference. From Jerusalem to Jericho. Because we have some people that go from Jerusalem to Jericho. They leave the faith. They go backwards instead of forward. Now I'm explaining to you. I'm gonna show you what I found. And fell among thieves. Three. Jerusalem, Jericho, thieves. Three. Which stripped him of his raiment. He's naked.
and wounded him. Oh, here it is again. And departed. Watch this, because this is important. Leaving him half dead. Half dead. And by chance they came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Okay? Did you get it? Man's down on his luck. He's all wiped out. 3 people come, no help. 1 comes, we're just known as the Good Samaritan, helps him until he makes sure that he's well. I want to talk to you on the subject, taking the licking, but keep on ticking. You know me the way I am. I've been delivered from folks, so it really don't make me no difference, you know. I can come back to churches, and I don't come back to churches. I'm just going to keep on trucking. Take a licking, keep on ticking. Would you bless the word, sir? You may be seated in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got a roasting oven cooking? I hope he's still there. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say some cliches. We have been accustomed to so many cliches that when we say them over the pulpit, or when we say them among the fellowship, or when we say them amongst one another, we are not moved by them anymore. That means that some folk have gotten over of getting the Holy Ghost. But I never have. Because when I get the Holy Ghost, Brother Eichert, I didn't get the Holy Ghost just to get another buzz. I got delivered from that. So when I get the Holy Ghost all over again, it's just not another buzz, but it's a life-changing experience. That's why I keep praising God, because praise in your life will keep your experience with God fresh. Prayer, on the other hand, will keep you on the cutting edge of your experience, meaning that you are always sensitive to listening to the voice of God and saying, okay, God, where can I go from here? I need to go to there. Hallelujah. So let me throw you out a cliche. Satan is a deceiver. Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you, bro. Think about that cliche. Satan is the deceiver. We go, yeah, rah, rah, rah.
So. Because we're apostolic. But Satan is a deceiver. When it comes to our freedom in Jesus Christ, Satan will try to mess up God's people. Satan will try to make God's people feel more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. That's pretty confusing. Pretty confusing. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil wants to and you know this, but I'll say it. It's another cliche. The devil wants to destroy you and your family and your ministry and your finances and your home and your businesses and your jobs. You see, we have got so accustomed to saying that it doesn't really move us like it's supposed to move us. Because we're in spiritual warfare. Or have we got so accustomed to spiritual warfare that it does not bother us anymore? Who the devil takes in or out? Well, hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah. He wants to rob you and I, break you, and use, watch this, because I've seen it across the country, and use the pain and discouragement of that loss to knock you down and control you so you'll never again be effective for the kingdom of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil has made a decision about your life, and he intends to make you his slave so that you'll never be able to serve Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Like a wicked, powerful judge, he has handed down his evil verdict against you to his demonic forces. He has a carefully laid out strategy to put you in bondage forever. Folks, I keep telling all these people here, you know, you got to know what you believe. You got to be set in concrete. And I keep telling people, the enemy is very well organized. We don't get that, folk. Just outside this door, the enemy is very well organized. Hallelujah. John 10:10 tells us the thief has come only to steal, kill, and destroy. So Satan's only interest in you and I is to steal, kill, and destroy, bring confusion to what is rightfully belongs to you. Because I'm a reader of books. I read all kinds of books. But I'm always careful what goes into my mind or what controls my mind. I've read books. Rah, rah, rah. Ooh, that was a good thing. Hallelujah. I read others that say,
middle of the road.
I read others that are way out in left field that talk against the movement. And the movement is worldwide, not just UPC. It's worldwide. It's worldwide. So he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And wants to steal everything you and I as believers have worked for. Our joy, our health, our peace, our success, our family, our mind, and every good thing. What says every good thing? God has given to us. He tells us how bad we are, how weak we are, how confused we are, how right, no, so the Bible says, You're a mess. You're a failure. You're guilty. You're a slave. You're in bondage. When God has given us the freedom. So just why does the devil want you to accept less than God's best for your life? Just hear me out now. Just hear me out. He's terrified. He's terrified of God's plans for you. Both God and the devil have plans for your life. Another cliche scripture that we read is found in Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Another cliche. I'm full of cliches today. I'm going to bore you with cliches. Satan is a thief. Okay. See what I mean? We got a custom. Oh, I know. First he's the destroyer. Then he's a thief. Yeah. He wants to rob you of your joy, beat you down, wound you, and leave you for dead. The devil wants you so discouraged that your long face will look like you could eat oaks out of a 2-inch pipe. But in Jesus Christ, Aaron, in Jesus Christ, no matter what the devil throws at you, you can still win. Because most people don't realize that the devil's work affects us on the same level as Jesus. Did you talk about Jesus today? What about the spiritual, the physical, and the emotional? Except with completely different goals. Because it is one of the most studied parables in the Gospels. Know that you've heard it preached 1,000 times. You might have preached it yourself. You might have taught it to somebody. You might have read that story until you can quote it in and out or quote it in your sleep. Because it is one of the most studied parables, this is what I found out, in the Bible. The story of the Good Samaritan is difficult to read with new eyes, new spiritual understanding, or new illumination. But once we get past the primary reason or the primary meaning of the story of the Good Samaritan, what is it? Huh? Loving our neighbor. After that, at least I have found, we begin to see at a deeper level not only the work of Jesus, but also the work of the devil. All right. I'm not talking about the Good Samaritan now. I'm talking about the Good Samaritan story, but not the Good Samaritan. An easily overlooked point in this story, and one that I have rarely seen or heard discussed, is the mistake the central character made right at the outset. The central character being the man that was down and out. He is, in this story, the central figure in the story. He left Jerusalem. Watch this. He left Jerusalem to go down to Jericho. And Jericho is located down in the Jordan Valley. And the man would have to walk down some pretty rugged terrain on a narrow, winding road, ideal for bandits and people who were running from the law in that era and in that time, to discourage attacks from the robbers. Everybody generally understood the importance of traveling in groups. Kind of like I've seen the signs here in Alaska when you're hiking, travel in groups. There's bears there. It's warning. It's a warning. travel in groups. Okay, right here. Everybody knew in Jerusalem, if they were going down to Jericho, you travel in groups, not alone. And to make this 20-mile track from Jerusalem to Jericho by yourself invited trouble. Now, this man could have avoided the mess entirely had he stayed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the church. Jericho's all the other idiots. Come on now. Hallelujah. Come on now. Say hallelujah. Jericho in this parable, what's this? Represents the power and anointing. It represents the manifest presence of God. Jericho, on the other hand, was not only lower in elevation, watch this, but it was also located on the edge of the promised land. Jericho was the farthest you could go from the anointing and still remain in the land of promise. Kind of remind me of some folk that I'll go down and travel and they ain't there no more. I know people today, you know people today, if they had stayed where the power and the anointing were and where the word of God was going out, they would not be in the mess they're in today. Instead, they began placing, what's this, a higher value on convenience rather than the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. I know people who are looking for a church of convenience and for a church closer to home, regardless whether or not the gospel is being preached there. You know people? I know people. Well, yeah, I don't understand, Lamas. We did leave the Jerusalem church to go down to Jericho Fellowship. I'm bringing this together now. Ain't no good Samaritan now, baby. It's Jerusalem and Jericho. Well, at Jericho Fellowship, there's nobody getting saved. Ain't nobody getting help. They start at 11 and they're out by 12 so they can beat everybody to the restaurants. Lamas, it might be a little cold at Jericho Fellowship. It might be dead. It might be dry. But at least the pastor keeps his word, and we start at 11, sing two songs. He makes 3 points, and he says a beautiful poem, and no room for altar call. And if you want to get saved, you want to be prayed for, we got another room. We got another bunch coming in just 30 minutes. Hallelujah. It's going to get better. Just hold on. Huh? And we always, Lamas, we always get out on time. Huh? When we depart from what we know is the anointing and will of God, ladies and gentlemen in Sterling, we make ourselves open to attack. Usually, when we walk away from the anointing, we do it alone, and then we want to drag others to go with us. So when we get beaten up by the forces of darkness, no one is around to pick us up. So what's important? What's important is not whether or not, folks, you attend a black church, white church, Hispanic church, native church, big church, medium church, small church. Is Jesus alive there? Is Jesus alive there? Are you getting saved? Oh, you might be taking the beating in your spiritual walk with God. Things may come your way. They may slap you left and right and everything else. But are you being sad? Is something happening? Is the anointing there, my friend? You might take a licking, but you got to keep on digging. Say, I'm grounded in the faith. I shall not be moved. There's power in the blood. I still believe in the word. I'm taking it from all sides, but I'm going to keep on moving forward. I'm not going to Jericho Fellowship. I'm staying in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. It's the Holy Ghost flowing there. I say, it's the Holy Ghost flowing there where people are getting saved, healed, and free from sin. Whatever you do, folks, stay plugged in where Jesus is real and alive. See, thieves, Jerusalem, Jericho, and thieves. Thieves stay away from Jerusalem. Because the devil doesn't want you to hang around where Jesus is being lifted up and the power of the gospel is represented in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody at church might have offended you. Well, welcome to the club. Everybody offends me. And I offend everybody else. Poop. Bye. Have fun at Jericho. I don't want you to go there. Come on now, talk to me, somebody. Huh? Stay plugged in, folks. What's this? Somebody at church may have offended you. You may have to drive across town. The service may run a little long, like today. Close my mind. You gotta be out of here. Lama said, so well, I thought I was in Jerusalem, not Jericho, dude. Yeah, right. We gotta give freedom of the Holy Ghost to move, folks. That's what I'm saying. I realize God can do quick works. I realize that. But more often than not, when we're texting and ready to get out of here and feed our stomach, God's saying, where'd y'all go, folks? So the man in the parable walked away from God's anointing. And because he was alone, a group of thieves, a third group, a group of thieves assaulted him. Just as Jerusalem represents the anointing of God, watch this, and Jericho represents a departure from God's presence, the thieves in the story represent the devil and his demons. I hope you're getting it here. Because the devil desires to strip us. I told you many times, the Bible is like a soap opera. We get the same certain things and all that. They said that. Well, they said that in the Bible. I guarantee you, if I was to say two words here right now, y'all go. But I found them in the Bible. But for your sanity, I won't say it. Won't hurt me none. I got Holy Ghost. Come on now. The devil desires to strip us. About a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, from among these, stripped him of his clothing. Come on, folks. Devil don't do anything half-heartedly. No, you don't. Oh, Aaron, I think I just stripped your tie, baby. No, he's going to strip you, boy. Steal, kill, destroy. Wounded him? Oh, wasn't enough, but I could to strip him, but wounded him. And then leaving him half dead. Shouldn't have left him half dead. He should never have left him half dead. In those times, clothing was expensive. And most people only owned a few changes of apparel in that day. It was a valuable commodity. Stripping a man of his clothing robbed him of his dignity and humiliated him before all the people passing by. But above all, that's not the important thing, folks. Above all, it exposed his openness. The devil comes along and says, I'd like to get you, Aaron. I'd like to get you, John. I'd like to get you, Elena. I'd like to get you, Abbott. I'd like to get you, Jordan. You know, but you just keep praising God. Every time I send a demon of depression and discouragement, you know what? You just keep praising God. Every time I send a storm, every time I send Jericho, you just keep praising God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care the beans what's happening in this church. You keep coming. You keep praising God. You keep worshiping God. This is Jerusalem. The devil wants to strip you. Most important thing, when people leave Jerusalem to go to Jericho, the devil wants to strip you of your garment of praise. Whatever you do, don't give the enemy your garment of praise. Keep it alive. He does whatever he can to hinder God's people from worshiping in spirit and in truth. You said it a while ago. Because that, why? Because that draws the enemy into a battle that they cannot win because you're steadfast in Jerusalem. I tell Bible students all the time, you know, I'm not for Bible college, but I'm not totally against Bible college. Some of them come out of Jerusalem, go right to Jericho. Some of them go right to the thieves. I've seen it with my own eyes. You better make sure that you're called to Jerusalem Bible College. Or you'll lose your soul. And you'll come back and say, now what I'm supposed to do? I'm serious, man. I thought the light of young man. Because there are a lot of young women that right now I could show you some ain't in church today. They went to Jerusalem, but they came out of there going to Jericho. And because they went to Jericho, guess what? They were stripped and thieves came and robbed them. Same thing in the church. Now, if God's called you there, more power to you. But about 60-70% of those are there to go get a wife or a husband. Get away from mom and dad. Oh boy. I know aren't I popular in saying that. I'm going to say it again. 60-70% of those in our college, and they're great, are there for another reason besides what they're supposed to be doing. I know I ain't popular in saying that. But I had some elders at 80 years old that told me, Lamas, I took online courses. I could have gone for the knowledge because, boy, it's great knowledge. They'll give you more homework than elementary, junior high, and high school and college put together. And that's good because you need it. But when you get on the field, what are you going to do with it? I'm all for it. If God calls you there, go. But don't go because somebody's there. Don't go because there ain't no guys and girls in the church. Go because God specifically spoke to me and pastor approved it. I forecast it now. Then I know some great people today. There are ministers and pastors in churches today. Ministers, girls that are ministers' wives, and missionaries. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. That's a hard decision. It's a hard decision. Maybe I'm saying that for a reason. I'm not down in it. Don't get me wrong. I told you it's going to be tough today. Don't get me wrong. I'm not for it or I'm not against it. Better make sure. Hallelujah. The enemy, he will draw you into a battle. Amen. If he can keep you from coming to church, folks, then he wants you to be as quiet as a church mouse. He doesn't want you to raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. He doesn't want you to enter the Holy of Holies where God can really minister to you and I and change you. He doesn't want you singing praises to God while you drive to work in the mornings. No matter how dark the situation you faced, never stop using all your might to praise the Lord. You know, I hate to admit it because I guess, Brother John, I'm the only one that confesses. It seems like you guys want to confess. Well, kind of get quiet as a church mouse. I doubt, but I'm getting there. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm in Jerusalem. I ain't going by Jericho. But I doubt if Lamas has used. Okay, Lord, I'm exposing myself. But help somebody. Let me read the statement again. And I'm going to hurry, I promise. Okay? But I tell you, I got to get some things out today, folks. I ain't going to be back for a while. Never stop using all of your might to praise God. In saying that, I made a statement. I believe it was back in the wintertime here. Or maybe it was last year. Nevertheless, I made a statement. And brother, is it ever more true today as I travel? I'm convinced Jerusalem people in the church, some of them have only rented the truth, have not bought into the truth because they're going back to Jericho fellowship. Boy, I know that's not popular, what I just said. That's in the lower 40. That happens in my home church. Doesn't that make you feel better? So he said, put all your might. I doubt, Lord, forgive me, Lord. I doubt if Lamas has used 30 or 40% of his all might to praise the Lord. I doubt if I have used at least 40% of all my might when I'm preaching or whether I'm just being a worshiper. Because David was an idiot. He didn't care. You know what? I guess I get the statement from him. Even though he didn't say it, he was delivered from people. He danced with all his... Okay, for some of you dictionary scholars, go look up the word might. And see what the definition of might means. Okay. Have we used it? Have we? David, I don't know how he did it, but Iker, and I know all of us are different. But David danced before the Lord. Not his nakedness. Not his openness of all the handmaids or whoever was there. But he danced, that's the key word, before he was in Jerusalem. Before the Lord. Not Jericho, not among thieves. He danced before the Lord with all his might. He got a licking, but he kept on thinking, I'm still going to dance with everything that I've got. I'm still going to come to church. Woo! And nobody else.
Because I guarantee you, the last 2 weeks, people have been going, they've been flipping out on the Olympics.
USA won!
Well, good, rightly so. We're USA. I'm proud to be USA. Well, they got silver. Oh, they didn't get but a bronze. Oh,
they got to go!
When Jesus went to Olympics, I didn't see him getting no silver or bronze. Every time I read, baby, he gold medal, baby. He gold medal. Jerusalem gold medal. Jericho's not gold medal.
Jerusalem is metal. Jerusalem is gold metal. Notice, the thieves didn't inflict personal injury on the man. Watch this. Until they first stripped him. Okay, let me bring it to light there. Once the devil has stripped us of our garment of praise, he knows we can't defend ourselves against his attacks. Because if your praise is gone, you're open to anything. Come on, I've proven in this church, my home church, Law 48. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to move real quick now. The devil desires to wound us. Steal, kill, destroy. I have a whole new, I think 39 years, I have a whole new meaning for those three words. And I have a whole new meaning for the parable of the Good Samaritan all of a sudden. Notice the thieves didn't inflict personal injury on the man until they first stripped him. Okay? But the praise. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is another reason why so people leave the church. We can't always prevent painful experiences from happening. Because life is life. John 16 and 33 says, in this world you will have tribulation and trials. But he did not leave us hanging with the scripture. He completes the scripture. He says, but be of good courage or something like that. Because I have overcome, you can overcome. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can't always prevent painful experiences from happening, but we can keep the pain from continuing. When we begin dwelling on our pain, we give the devil an opportunity to wound us. Overwhelming disappointment, an agonizing divorce, life is life, an upset in childhood incident, or something someone said is all the devil needs to create a wound. And once we take the pain personally, we invite the forces of evil to what? Work us over. When we are hurt, we can easily direct our pain toward others, ourselves, or even both. If we direct our pain toward others, watch this, we become mean. Yeah, I see some very ugly, mean Holy Ghost Christians. Mean. Mean and easily offended. If we direct our pain toward ourselves, watch this. This is the flip side of that. I'm going to leave that alone. If we direct our pain toward ourselves, watch this. We lose our self-confidence and blame ourselves for any and every problem. Either way, ladies and gentlemen, we lose our joy and become even more deeply wounded in the process. And therefore, Jerusalem doesn't look very good to us no more. Well, maybe Jericho Fellowship is a lot better. You ever heard it preached like this? Huh? Many people direct their pain toward God. They begin to question, God, how can you just stand there and do nothing while I am suffering? Why didn't you do anything? I thought you were love, but now I know you just don't care. Ladies and gentlemen, if the pain isn't dealt with, they become embittered against God. And the best way that I know how, the best way to deal with the painful wounds the devil inflicts on us is to acknowledge the pain and give it to God. Amen. When we direct our pain toward God, we use it as a weapon. You ever thought of that? No, because we always want to, Brother John, Aaron, come join my pity party. Won't you come and join me and inflict more pain on llamas? But we can direct our pain and give it to God, and turn it around and use it as a weapon against the enemy. Because when we give our pain to God, we present it to Him for what? For healing. It's okay to come before me. It's okay to come before Him and say, God, I'm bleeding. I'm hurting and I'm half dead. It's okay to go to your pastor and say, Pastor, I need someone to lay hands on me. Rebuke the enemy. Stand on the word of God with me. I need help myself and I need it. And I need it right now. Because when we read through the book of Psalms, we quickly see that the writers didn't hold back from expressing their deepest hurts to God. We do, but they didn't. Our words are important. You know the scripture, Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. When I was a young Christian, something that I didn't like, I could lash out at Aaron, my brother, and say, you dirty devil, you idiotic fool. But I don't do that no more. I say, I agree to disagree with you. Let's go somewhere privately, settle the matter. You know why? He might be in a backslidden position. He might be a visitor. He might just be a saint. I can't let that happen. It's going to kill them. They're going to go to Jericho and not stay in Jerusalem. Oh, getting quiet in here now. Getting quiet in here now. In other words, take your licking, baby. Keep on ticking. Stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. You're too valuable in the kingdom of God. Girl, you're too valuable in the kingdom of God. Oh, you might be doing pretty good somewhere else. But I believe this also. And I know God calls people to other places sometimes. But you will never be what God meant you to be if you don't stay, be taught, be grounded, and rooted in the Word. Thieves, come get us. Okay, now. Oh, my God. Okay. Forgive me, folks. Give me, folks. Our words are important, but we should never lose sight of the fact that He sees past Fernando Lamas' word, our words, and into our hearts. Make you feel better. Excuse me. Watch this. The devil leaves us half dead. This is what I want to get to real quick. The devil leaves us half dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's got a number on me. I've been crazy. All things to come again. I'm half dead. But if I'm half dead, I'm still half alive. After the devil wounds us, he leaves us half dead. The devil strips us, wounds us, and leaves us to die. But the devil is not nearly as smart as some people think. You see, the devil makes a big mistake by leaving us half dead. If we're half dead, then we're still half alive. If we're half alive, there's enough in us, Aaron. There's enough in us to get back up again. Get back in the Word again. Get plugged in again into the true name of Jesus. And stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Should have killed me, old slob. Should have killed me, devil. Should have killed me. I'm half alive. I got Eichert praying for me. I'm half alive. I got Eichert here. I got Jordan. I got Aaron. I got John. I got Lane. I got Rebecca. I got Reagan. I got David. I got Vias. I'm not worried about the half alive. I'm feeding on them and them helping me and them praying for me and them fasting for me and them encouraging me that half dead. that half dead. You know, like Ezekiel, them bones are going to rise. You should have killed me, devil, but I'm getting encouraged. The word of pastors preaching the word. Thank you, Lord. That's what I needed. You know what? I'm half dead, but I'm becoming fully alive. I'm becoming fully alive. Oh, church, you got to keep on ticking. Keep on staying at Jerusalem. The man in the story was beaten and left on the side of the road for dead. But you know what? He refused to die. People more concerned, with playing church than being the church, walked right past him. Priest and the Levite, playing church, walked right past him. They didn't want to dirty their hands by missing with a man that was in trouble. Not by chance, about a certain priest came down the road, saw him, passed on the other side. Likewise, Levites heard. Pat came, looked, and he passed by on the other side. But then the Bible says the Good Samaritan came by. Huh? He journeyed, saw him, had what most of us need more. Most of us need what I'm about to say, one word. I'm going to say it again. Most of us need one word in the church in Jerusalem. The man said he came by and had compassion. It brings me to a statement that I've mentioned. Why are we not moved more by the messages we hear? You know why? We don't have any compassion. I'm going to take care of this guy, put him on my beast, horse, donkey, whatever it was in that day. Unless, I don't know what it was in that day, maybe a donkey or horse, whatever. Took him, paid at the end. Didn't leave him there. Why did not the Good Samaritan just strap him off at the hotel and leave? Why did he not do it? Jordan knows. He's going to school. Oh, he's working. And some of you people. Why did he not just, hey, here, here's money. Any more that I owe, when I come back, I'm going to pay. Okay, bye. He didn't do that. Why did he stay with the man? Huh? Yeah, I don't know. Huh? Because in the medical field, in the medical profession, when you have an injury, it's pretty bad, like this man was. And they operate on you, or something happens, the first 24 hours is the most critical. You're usually in ICU. So the man had sense enough to stay with him, because this is that. He stayed with him a night. He stayed with him that day and that night. He stayed with him until he made sure he was in the clear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that throws the concept, and they've told me this hundreds of times. I mean, I get so tired of people telling me this. That throws away the misconception. That throws away this cliche, this saying. God helps those that help themselves. Liar. That's a lie. We mean good because we want to make that person feel better, but that's not the truth. God helps those that helps themselves. Not true. See, some of y'all don't believe me. If that was true, then the story of this guy, and you read it, could not help himself. There's your answer. I know most of you know it. He couldn't help. How can the man help himself? Man, he needed somebody to come help him. To stay in Jerusalem. He left the anointing. Sorry. I mean, I know you mean well. I know you're trying to help me. But I have to correct you. That's not true. God don't help those that help themselves. Because there's a point in your life and my life that we can't help ourselves. We have to have somebody come help us. You know, I might be your Superman one day. You might be my Superman next day. Hallelujah. Huh? Jesus didn't say, I'll wait until you get your act together before I help you. Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't hold to the misconception that I just told you. God helps themselves, those that help themselves. That battered and beaten man on the road could do nothing to help himself. By touching a man, this man that came, by touching a man who was possibly dead, the Good Samaritan risked becoming defiled himself. But his compassion, for a man he didn't know exceeded his concern about being defiled. Think about it. Had a man come at the altar to me in CarMax. Aaron was there, and someone else that came. Had a man that came to CarMax. No. Pelly Crossing, when we were there, Sevilla. Just sobbing and crying. And he knelt down. And he said, pray. So I prayed for him. He said, can I tell you something? I said, ooh, that's dangerous, but you can. He told me, what's this? I'm going to parallel this story, and then I can go have a feast, I guess. He's crying, man. Guy, probably in his 40s, man. Yeah, late 30s maybe. Maybe late 30s, 34. I've done a terrible thing. I ain't even seen the man. That's the first time I met the man. We were in Pelly Crossing. But I've done a terrible thing, and I want to ask God to forgive me. I need help. He was just sobbing, man. I said, well, you know, I've heard a lot of things before, so okay, you know, I'm the preacher. I got to have compassion. Let me see what this story is all about. He said, I want you to pray for me. I want you to help me. A couple of days ago, watch this. I beat up my wife real bad in the face. I beat her up. Ooh. Flesh. Holy Ghost, llamas. I felt like saying, thank you, Lord, I didn't do it. Lord, can you guys turn around a little bit here? Don't see what I'm about to do. I'm going to hang my Holy Ghost up here and I'm knock his brains out. I felt like saying that. Beat up his wife. Cut up, bled, but I didn't do that. Flesh wanted to. I could, but I knew I couldn't do that. Everything I got, and I meant it. Here's the Good Samaritan. Oh, Lord Jesus, you're putting me through the test now. I said, sir, we'll pray for you. Me and Brother Nyman, a couple of others came over. But he only told the story to me. The other ones didn't hear. I just told him, hey, let's pray for this guy. He needs help. I was mad at being a man, but I had compassion because I needed him to break through. So we prayed for him. Didn't take less than about a minute. He fell out. He had fell among thieves. I'm in Jerusalem. Comes back to that revival. Comes. I think he handed me. I didn't ask him. 70, 80. Dollars in Canadian money. He said, brother, I want to thank you. I said, well, it's just the Lord, brother. I said, but you go do the right thing. That's what I want you. You just do the right thing. I want to give you an offering for coming over here. And I want to thank you for taking out the time out and praying for me. We were eating. He went home. I don't know why he went home. He came back about 10 minutes later. He said, I felt compelled to give you this. I didn't ask for that. God bargained for that. I didn't ask for that. I just wanted the man delivered, which he wanted to be delivered. So I guess I really did play the part of the Good Samaritan. Huh? kind of tough. And then I'll close. I'm not finished, but I'll finish. The devil deserts us. But Jesus will meet us where we are. God is love. God is love. I get so tired of people saying that God is love. When they're trying to trick me, hey, God is love. 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 Yeah, God is love. But he loves you enough not to leave you where you're at. He loves you and I enough not to leave you like you are. He deserts us. Second, Jesus binds our wounds. Good Samaritan found a man lying on the side of the road. He did what no one else would do. Walked over and began to care for him. I did what probably no other guy, if they'd have said that, unless they're in condition, would not pray for him. He just said, you dirty slime, you dirty devil. Why do you deserve? Yeah, you deserve where you're at. No. Man deserved to be saved, healed, set free, and delivered. That's what he needs to do. Yeah. Then he won't go back and do those crazy things. He poured oil and wine over the man's wounds to clean him and disinfect him. He bandaged the wounds in order to stop the bleeding and to what? And to start the man's recovery in the story. Jesus isn't interested, folks. I get this all the time. Jesus, and I have an answer. Jesus isn't interested in watching us suffer any longer than we have to. He came to bring healing and wholeness into our lives, to build us up, not to tear us down. The devil strips us. Jesus binds up our wounds. He picks us up, and Jesus carries us. The Good Samaritan picked up the man that was injured, set him on his own beast, as I said, followed the man with him. Jesus picks us up. He carries us. But we can't carry ourselves. Sometimes we're in so much pain, we don't even realize Jesus is carrying us until after we've recovered. And the devil has decided that we should be beaten and thrown into a ditch. But Jesus Christ overrules the devil's decision by picking us up and carrying us. Yeah, take a licking, folks. Stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Keep on moving forward. The devil beats us down. Jesus lifts us up and carries us. And then the last, Jesus stayed by our side until we were out of danger. Let me play for me, boy. I said again, Jesus stayed by our side until we're out of danger. The Good Samaritan brought the injured man to an inn where he took care of him. I told you about that. Luke 10 tells us the Good Samaritan not only paid the injured man expenses and motel, but he stayed by his side the whole time. 24 hours. Maybe you're living in ICU. I don't know. You've been robbed, hurt, wounded, abandoned. But glory to God, Jesus came down to sit with you all night. Jesus will be there at the foot of your bed, talking to you, taking care of you. He's cruising around your house. At the same time, the enemy is cruising around your house. The enemy is still trying to shake the locks of your house. Come to Jericho. Come to Jericho. Hey, we get out on time. Thank you, Lord. I believe. Hey, come to Jericho. No, stay in Jerusalem. Heal, set free, deliver. Stay in Jerusalem. Devil leaves you half dead. Jesus will stay with us till we're out of danger. Jesus is not afraid to go where you are, folks, into the mess that you're in and pull you and I out. He came 2,000 years ago. I'm glad you said that. Let's stand. I know it's kind of funny teaching a Christmas lesson in August, huh? I don't know what the guys are thinking up there. But maybe somebody needed it. What's this? He said, can't manifest it in the flesh. Born of a virgin. So I'll just add a little bit more to what you. And those of you who have been in school know where I come from. I mentioned the statement, but I'll mention it again. God climbed into one microscopic cell. God climbed into one microscopic cell and came to pay you and I a visit. See, some of you getting it. Born of a woman, created in the arms of a mother, and out of this divine providence came our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's here to help us, Bo. God manifested in the flesh. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of church he has. I'm glad that I'm in Jerusalem today. I'd rather be nowhere but in Jerusalem. He saved me in my pot days and my drinking days and my crazy. I'm in Jerusalem now. I have nothing to go back to. I've said it many times. I ain't got nothing to go back to. I'm in Jerusalem, baby. I'm in Jerusalem. Grounded and rooted in the world. Get them all my craziness. Get them all my pain sometimes when I say, Lord. I'll learn one statement. When God is silent, God is never absent. Devil puts a thorn, God puts a rope. Hallelujah. I know this is not the norm that I preach in, but I just felt like talking to you all today. Maybe next time I'll hand on the thing. Hallelujah. Before we leave today, if you've been in the situation which I'm talking about today, amen. More questions than answers. Well, that's what I have at 60 years old now. When I was 18, I had all the answers, Abbott. I wish I was 18 again so I can know all the answers. At 60, I got a whole lot of questions now. But I'm still grounded and rooted in the faith. I still know where my Jerusalem is at. I have ups and downs, Aaron, but I know where my Jerusalem is at. I know where my authority, I know where I'm protected, I know where I have my covering. Jerusalem. If you want to come and pray, I'm going to go ahead. If you want to come and pray, we'll pray for you. I want you to come. Maybe you like the story here today. I don't know. Maybe you're having a hard time dealing with other people. I don't know. Maybe you're going through a trial with your family. I don't know. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's with your own self. Is this Jerusalem or is it Jericho or is it the thieves? I'll help you with that one. That's easy. This is Jerusalem, baby. This is Jerusalem. Come on, quickly. Ready to sing? Pray for just a few moments. My apologies for taking so long. Hallelujah. You ain't taking a licking now for the